Hi, buddy. Welcome to a Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. We'll take you to three-handed after our good buddy Phil Venati. His fine show behind the bench for 2 hours today, and then he heads off to La Monica. Terrific matchup tonight, Friday Night Lights, high school football, second week. Salinas comes in, so the Cowboys are in to play the Cougars. In that matchup, I think I favor a Cougar over a Cowboy, just my hunch, but it is the Rodeo Bowl. 7:30 the kick, 7 o'clock the pregame. It will be Phil Palmeters and Pat Hill, and so stay tuned for that tonight. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule later on. Brian Panis with us for the first time during this season in just a second, but first I want to acknowledge very quickly our sponsors, Ed Dunkel, the whole gang at Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. I'll tell you all about each a little bit later on. Right now, I believe live and direct from Scotland. I'm not sure about that. I believe it is Mr. Top Dog himself, the Bulldog great from when I was a little teeny kid. It's Brian Panish. BP, what's going on?
I'm talking to you from a new place. We've gone all over the world, and now we're on the Royal Scotsman train in the Highlands of Scotland. You know what they have up there, don't you, Tony?
What's that, Brian?
Scotch.
Yes, yes. Well, no, I pointed that out during the week. Listen, I have made it clear, Paizan, that it was going to be post 10 p.m. your time, so it is 10:07 your time right now there. But
well, you told me 9 originally, and I had my alarm set at dinner.
No, I did not. I said no. I'll send the email back to you. I said you're going to be 8 hours in front, so it was going to be 10 o'clock. Don't hand me that. Unbelievable. Come on, counselor. Again, if you know this, if you got a case, Brian, you pound the facts, right? If you don't, you pound the table. Don't pound the table on me right now. You are awake.
If you don't, you pound the other guy.
Yeah, well, that's, listen, I've seen some of the video of you. That is exactly what happens. You use that 6'3 to your advantage, and I'm guessing it's no longer 6'3 and about 185. This isn't college, right?
No.
Okay.
We'll leave it at that.
Yes, you know, same here. All right. So trust 185 was a long time ago. All right, Brian, first of all, it's great to have you back on. The last time you and I talked, I think you were trying to fend off looters in L.A., were you not? I think you were wearing an FBI hat. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was quite an ordeal, Tony. I mean, it's getting better, but a lot of people have had devastating losses, and
yes,
it's been catastrophic.
Well, there's no doubt, and that's, if people don't know, Brian and I were talking right after the season in January as the wildfires were coming through. And by the way, I do want to mention, when I go over the weather a little bit later on, those around the area, the affected area by Pine Flat Reservoir, there are evacuations taking place in the Sierra National Forest because of the Garnet Fire. It has again exploded up there. So those of you looking for a great Labor Day weekend, if you're living up there, you may find yourself being told to evacuate. So the wildfires continue, that's for sure. So we'll get back.
They can evacuate down to Bulldog Stadium. At least they'll take them in there.
You know, and I'll tell you, Brian, that is a 6:30 start, and I do want to repeat this because our good buddy Clovis Dave, who just turned 75, had mentioned to me that as much as he loves going to the games in what is going to be roughly 100-degree heat, at least when the kickoff hits, it's going to be up in the 90s. It's going to be 100 probably around 5 o'clock. That 6:30 start, Dave was saying he's not sure he's going to actually show or watch it on TV. I hope people are able to get there, but understand the half-hour earlier start and the fact, and we all know this, that if you're seated on the east side of the stadium, you're always going to have that issue of the sun coming across. So we'll see. That having been said, Brian, I want to start with an email from our buddy Mark up in Clovis, Northland. And he had mentioned that what he wants to see this team tougher. He wants to see them be able to run the football and to stop the run, but to be able to go up against the USC's or even the Kansas types of teams on the line. And he mentioned it's going to take toughness and recruiting in this day and age, Brian, of NIL and all the stuff you and I have talked about now for years. How tough is it for a Fresno State school, not just Fresno State, but anywhere where you don't have a David Booth running around with $350 million? How tough is it to get those lines recruited to and to keep people there?
Well, I think the recruiting and finding players that develop, they can do that. The problem is keeping them and holding your players once they do well. Like, you know, you look at that kid from Clover, starting tackle, they're going to be all over him.
Right.
But
yeah, you know, Walt,
I think Vince
has
a plan. I think he wants to develop his own players and create that culture to keep the players there. He has a plan to deal with it. I think the NIL is going to stabilize a little in the next few years. And maybe we'll have a better shot, but it's going to be very tough. I mean, you know, look, that Kansas defensive line was phenomenal, Tony. I don't think we'll play another better defensive line than them. We'll never play a better quarterback. And that quarterback had his best game in 6 years at Kansas.
Well, and someone that you know well because he's a SoCal player, and we knew how highly regarded he was coming out. But, Brian, I have to ask you, and you and I have talked about it, when you're talking about Big 12 opposition, you are talking, never mind designation of P4 or whatever. We've talked about it. It's P2. It's SEC and Big 10 and then everybody else. But that's a peer group setting for Fresno State because, again, you have three former conference mates in BYU, Utah, and TCU in the Big 12. And the Bulldogs easily could have been in the Big 12. You and I know that without the implosion out here in the West with the Pac. How was Fresno State dominated so much? Was it just first game, new coaching staff, tough environment? Or are the Bulldogs that far behind even the middle-of-the-pack teams in the Big 12 if that's where Kansas ultimately ends up? Maybe they're going to be great, but right now they look to be middle-of-the-pack. What do you say about what you saw last Saturday?
Well, first of all, I think Kansas is better than you think they are. I think that they're going to be a top 25 team when the season ends. And I think it was hard. Kansas has done a really good job. They have a really good coach. He kind of like Ince came up the level from Division III, and then Danny White hired him at Buffalo, and he showed he's a winner. So it shows it doesn't really matter what level you're coaching on. If you can coach, you can coach. But the NIL, you know, obviously that Kansas is loaded up, and the talent level, I think, for Kansas on both sides of the ball is superior to the Bulldogs. And it was tough. I thought the defense played a little better in the offensive line. They made some stops, although it seemed like Kansas, whenever they wanted to make a first down on third down, they were going to do it. And, of course, the coach did let up at the end of the game, so the score wasn't really indicative of how the game went. You know, if you saw 31-7, you said, wow, it wasn't terrible, but, you know, easily could have been 48-7.
Last night, saw a Cincinnati quarterback, legs alone, keep his team in the game, ended up losing to Nebraska on an INT that he threw late in front of what was supposed to be a neutral crowd. It was supposed to be a Cincinnati home game, which was a joke because it was at Arrowhead, and we know how well Nebraska fans travel. But you saw the value.
You saw that Fresno.
Yes, that's correct. We saw that firsthand.
They were buying. We had our highest season ticket total, I think. And that's because all the Nebraska people bought season tickets to go to one game.
Yep. Our pal Husker Steve, a lawyer here in town who's been a friend for years and years, boy, those Husker guys, they and ladies, they take it very seriously. And they also let you know when you're not winning. And so Nebraska is expected to win again. At least they're hoping they will. The point of last night was, again, a running quarterback. And, you know, this Mark had brought this up in his email. We have seen running quarterbacks hurt Fresno State a great deal. The Bulldogs have not really been – I mean, you played with a great running quarterback in Dean Jones, but that's
the
a whole
Dean
different
machine.
Story. The Dean machine.
Well, you know,
but that was by design, okay? You know that. So what about it, you know?
Well, I tell you what, Tony, what I thought going into fall camp, based on my information, I thought the Sac State guy who can run
Conklin
was competing, you know, closely with Warner. obviously Warner beat them out. The coaches are going to put the best player in the game. Obviously, they want to win. He's got a lot more experience in playing bigger teams. But I thought maybe towards the end, the fourth quarter, they would have given him a shot just to, you know, see how he could do running the ball. Because Ants, you know, you look back to North Dakota State, you know, Trey Lance and the kind of quarterbacks they have, they like to run. They like to run the quarterback. It makes it much more difficult. Ants, being a defensive coach, understands that when you got to defend the quarterback run, you know, you're in the single man coverage, or you have problems, and when you're playing man like that, you're not really covering the quarterback. And as dynamic as he is, he was making plays. I mean, we had him multiple times for sacks, and he got away and made first downs. So I don't know. We'll see how Warner does. It was his first game, tough environment. I don't think the interceptions had any impact on the game or the turnovers. I really don't think that made the game any different. But I assume they put him in there because he had more experience and they thought he would be good not turning the ball over. And, you know, he played only okay, and I think he just didn't have a lot of protection, and they had very good coverage. And when you can't run 1.3 yards per carry, and I will say this, the OC, he ran Speedy. He ran Donaldson. He ran Gilliam. He even had Arsenal on the slot, so he played all the running backs, and he didn't just give up on the run. He continued to try to run, but the run was very difficult against Kansas, and I don't know. I'm sure their defensive line was very good. So one of the guys was recruited by Les Miles from Louisiana, right? Probably the best defensive lineman. But, you know, we got to be able to block better. We got to give the quarterback better protection. And if we can't run, we're not going to be successful.
Look, Brian, you're right on all counts. But to the point of the situation with Warner, and you know this, at both Temple and Rice, the kind of game that Warner played last week for Fresno State was sort of the MO of the problems he had in those two previous stops, and that is he did not have the protection he needed. He didn't have the running game, and he would be turnover prone, but not necessarily all of his doing. Of the three turnovers that One was an ill-advised throw.
There's two guys. He threw into four guys.
The first INT was a bad idea. Yeah. The other one Freeman could have caught, and the fumble had to be reviewed before it was actually a fumble. So do you say that let's try it this way. If the line protects Warner, he's going to be just fine, or do you say there's going to be continuing issues with this line, which means mandatorily you're going to have to get a quarterback in there that can create with his legs? I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is no knock against Warner, and it's only one game. But if it's going to be a line that's a work in progress, does it almost force this coaching staff to go to Conklin because he can make something out of nothing, even though he is a bit of a higher risk kind of quarterback?
I don't know if it forces him. I think maybe my mindset was they don't want to pull Warner because they don't want to ruin his confidence. They still believed in him.
And I would understand that. Yeah, you don't want to pull
him. I can understand that.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to get in the car, you're out. But on the other hand, I would like to give the other guy a shot. Obviously, Warner did better in camp or he wouldn't be starting. So they know what they're doing. They're going to put the best guy in there they think could win, but when discussion with Ants before he came, and part of what his plan was to have, if he could, a running quarterback. And Warner, I mean, I don't know what his record was. It certainly wasn't on him, but, you know, I did see that him and Mikey Keene were two of the leading quarterbacks coming back for passing attempts and yards because their teams were getting beat, and they had to come back all the time, and they were throwing the ball quite a bit. I just don't think Fresno State can go back to throwing the ball, you know, 70% of the time in the game. I just don't see them being able to protect the type of passing game they want to have. They're going to have to be able to run the football.
You know that, I know that, and unfortunately right now for the Bulldogs, so does the opposition every week. So if you are going to have a situation, and you look, Clay Helton is going to come in here with a really good Georgia Southern team. Our buddy Patrick was talking about this. This is the team that has been spreading people out, but then after they spread you out, They've got three wideouts that can hurt you. Then they start to run it late, and that's what they started to do toward the end of last year. Helton is going to come in here, and you know he's going to load the box, and you know he's going to dare Fresno State to beat them through the air. If they can't do that, do you say no matter how good Donaldson might be or any other backs, they have no shot right now if the other team's going to load the box? Is there any way, per Mark's point, about being able to impose your will? Is Fresno State physically capable of imposing their will, even with the peer group schools right now? Or is it just not the case that if they're going to load the box, you're going to have to do something else?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tony. They got one guy in there that if he breaks through, they're loading the box, there's no one on the field that can catch him. You know who that is?
That's Luke, I know. Yes.
Speedy. And you know where he went to high school, of course.
Well, and that's why, look, and you know I believe Donaldson is the game breaker, but I do know.
I love Donaldson. I love Donaldson. Donaldson is in between the tackles. He runs hard. But Speedy Luke, I've seen him play. He's never been caught from behind. Never. And when he gets in the open field, there's no one that can catch him. No one on Junior, so no one in the Mountain West in the Pac-12. He has that kind of speed. He came in second in the 109th grade. But
so how do you get him in the last seams, though? You know, I mean, that's the thing, Brian.
Yeah, you got to bust them. If you break one of those seams, it's going to be a big play, and I think that's what they're on. The same with Donaldson. Donaldson's a heck of a running back. I mean, that was a great move that Ents was able to keep him because he's a big-time running back. He breaks tackles. He runs hard. He's a good team guy, and he's a very good running back. But, again, if you have nowhere to go, and you saw Donaldson when Warner was able to just dump that ball off. I mean, Warner's a smart player. That was a smart play. He dumped off Donaldson. It's probably our best offensive play of the game, probably.
But it led to the only score, yeah. That was the part of keeping that drive alive that ultimately ended up with the touchdown. But through it all, look, you played, you coached, so you understand this. You are going to have to find a way through a very competitive conference. Stephen Clovis brought it up. It is not unexpected when you're talking about a brand new set of circumstances. That having been said, you've got to find your way through this schedule with the maturation level of this team right now. I know they're going to get better as the year goes along. Do you stick, Brian, with the philosophy you have, period, right now? I mean, do you have to say, you know what? Yeah, we're going to take some three and outs. And yes, the games are going to be tight most of the time, but we're going to continue to shorten the game. We're going to continue to play for the fourth quarter, and we're going to bank on the fact that going forward, we're the ones that are going to be the recipients of these turnovers and not the ones gifting the turnovers. Is that the only philosophy Maddens can have right now?
I think so, and that's the philosophy he's had his whole career, and I don't see him changing. I think he's may take a few lumps here, but I don't think he's the kind of guy that is going to lose confidence. He's going to keep pushing forward. And, you know, they say the best improvement is between week one and week two.
That's correct.
I believe, look, I know Clay Elton. I know he's a pretty good coach. He knows how to coach. And Georgia Southern, they've got some players. You know, Georgia, like California, is a great high school football state. So he has players. I don't know how he did in the portal, what happened. But he's going to be okay. And you know, was it Boise last year, wasn't it, they played?
They do. That's really smarting from last night, by the way. I don't want to miss the chance to
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, who wouldn't like to see Boise get beat 35-7? And come on, that made the weekend.
Well, it certainly made a nice start to this week. I'm not so sure it's something related to last weekend. All right,
well, we win this weekend. The Bulldogs beat Georgia Southern. We're going to be feeling pretty good.
All right, last thing about this, and it's the only thing that really bothered me about last weekend. I expected the Bulldogs to have a tough time at Kansas. The refurbishing of the stadium brought a whole new level of excitement there. You know this, and so does everybody else. Kansas is a basketball school. But they also have a football season to play, and for the first time they had a facility that made them proud on campus as opposed to what it looked like before. Everything was stacked against Fresno State in a lot of ways. But the one thing that I can't figure out is the fact that the team flattened out emotionally. I was talking to Pat off air about this the other day. Is it a case, Brian, where you can want it so much that when it doesn't happen when you think it should, that all of a sudden the wind is right out of your sails? Why in the world would this team seem to have been disengaged at the very time you would have thought they would have been the most desperate? Did they just run out of emotional gas, period?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, they were pretty jacked up in the beginning. They went all the way down the field and scored and made some plays and stopped them. And it looked like in the beginning that they were going to be hanging in the game. And obviously, in the second half, I think Kansas toughened up on defense even more. They blocked the box more, trying to force Warner to throw the football. And their coverage is pretty good, Tone. I mean, they didn't have to blitz, and they had a lot of guys open. Even though the Bulldogs, one of their strengths is the secondary.
Well, and that's why I think people felt that if...
You know, those two calls on Hamilton, they could have gone either way. Although I will say this, the Big 12 refs called a lot of holding penalties on Kansas, so I was surprised.
Well, that's true. They did get their share, KU did, but also none of them really impacted the game much. Look, the game was won in the trenches, Brian, and I guess that's the question. If this is, and maybe you're right, and, you know, Pat and I were talking off air, I brought it up on air, about Colorado back in 2001. That was that late ad prior to what was already going to be a daunting start of Oregon State at home and then on the road at Camp Randall to play Wisconsin. Had that Coach's Classic ad right in front. I remember talking to David Carr about it about a month before the season. David was on with me, and I said, David, it's going to be really tough for this team to go 3-0 at the start of the year now. Well, they did. But the Colorado game was thought to be the easiest of the three, and as it turned out, it took a last-minute INT for Fresno State to win that, and then Colorado almost played for the national championship. I understand.
So they ran into Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl, Coach Ted.
Well, yeah, and you know, and again, Nebraska should not have been against Miami, but that's a story for another time. But the bottom line is this: they had a great year. Colorado did. Barnett hung on to a job they thought he was going to lose, for goodness sake. You don't think Kansas is going to be a team at the end of the year where we're going to look up and say, geez, these guys are in competition for a playoff spot. You don't believe that,
no,
do you?
No, but because the SEC is going to get so many playoff spots, there's not going to be any.
Well, that's true, maybe, too. But I mean, you know.
You know, in the Colorado game, look, all Colorado was standing on the goal line, third and goal from the 3-yard line. They called timeout. They're ground by two. They run the play. They call a timeout. They run a play action. Banks, I believe it was, 19, intercepted. And all Barnett had to do, I think it was Barnett was the coach, all he had to do was kick the field goal and they win the game. So there was the Bulldogs had breaks. They made the play to win the game. They were ready on that play. Their D coordinator, Dan Brown, told them to look for that play, and he looked for it, and they were ready, and they were coached up, and they won. But that game could have gone either way. They dominated Oregon State, and they dominated the Badgers pretty much in that game.
But it's Colorado. Not Fresno State's play in 2001. Colorado's afterward, because they played Colorado State the next week, and the thought was if they lost that game in that interstate rivalry, that Barnett was going to be out of a job. Yet, by the time the year ended, they had a terrific season. And so maybe, to your point, and I did bring it up the other day, that maybe Kansas will be a lot better. But going in, Brian, the thought was this was a peer group school. Yes, you're on the road. If they would have come out here, it might have been a different outcome. The fact that the Bulldogs were dominant on the lines, is that the biggest takeaway you have, saying, okay, that's NIL money at work? Or are you saying, Fresno State is farther back than you think, even from the Big 12 people?
I think there's an offensive line and the NIL money. I mean, the offensive linemen are the hardest ones to find. And I think, you know, obviously our offensive line wasn't great last year. I understand the coach has done a really good job, but they're not nearly where they need to be. But that Kansas defense, Tony, they were very good. And I think they're going to do pretty well this year. Well, I think the only other Big 12, the only Big 12 team Fresno State's ever beaten is Kansas State, right?
Well, you two,
I think they're like 1-0.
You're talking about the traditional, the original.
Yeah.
Big
right,
eight.
Oklahoma, we've yeah, lost yeah, Nebraska, right, yeah, because, Oklahoma State, right. Texas Tech.
Well, they should have won Texas Tech. Jamie Kimbrough never fumbles a football, for goodness sake. Then again, they should have beat Texas A&M.
Oh, the receiver that was trying to touch A&M, the receiver tried to.
That was more, reaching over. Yeah, we've talked about this. For as many upsets as Fresno State has had, they have had even more close calls in games that they should not have but should have won. All right, Brian, listen.
Well, I guess we beat Colorado that one time, too, but we've been hammered by Colorado.
Right, and also
I think we had a 45-3 loss to Colorado.
Yeah, teams like Utah, BYU, TCU that are in the conference now that were Fresno State mates, that's a different story.
Well, I'm talking about original.
The original Big Eight, yeah, gotcha, right. Okay, listen, I appreciate the time, Faizan. I'll ask you one final thing. Do you expect this team, given the fact they go to Corvallis next week, and it's going to be a tough, tough situation there, nobody wants to start 0-3. It's not the end of the world. Oregon State's not a conference mate till next year. But all that taken right in a row to avoid 0-3, which is a good possibility if you lose, are the Bulldogs going to win tomorrow?
I think it's a toss-up. I think the offensive, they got to be able to run better, and they got to be able to make some plays in the passing game. I think the defense will be okay. I think if they spread them out, I think the defense can cover. If they try to run up the middle, I think we'll be okay. But I really think the offense is going to have to score 28 points at least to win the game. And they will have no chance of scoring 28 points last week.
Are you going to have a shot on FS1 at all from Scotland to check that on the computer?
Well, I've been working on that. I'm trying to get that. I'm on a train, so that's also a problem. And I went on my YouTube TV, and it doesn't work here, so I'm working on other options.
Well, the best option is to go to the Fox Sports app if you can get the connection and get your provider in there from here, and then you'll have the smorgasbord of all the games on the Fox Sports app. That's provided you can get the service you need as far as whatever you're
working
broadband.
On that. Don't worry, Tony.
Well, you know where
like
to find me.
I can easily watch the Bosco game, though. That's easy.
Yes. Well, that's, of course, what we all have to watch.
The number two rated Braves nationally, who just had five people make the NFL.
Yes, I'm also aware of that. And I always want to make sure you get the news.
Including the undrafted free agent, Bo Collins, made it with the New York Giants.
Yep, you're right. All right, listen, Brian, I appreciate it as always, my friend. If you need anything,
it's great to be back, Tony.
Yep, yep.
I'm going to tell you one funny story. One funny story is I'm here on the train. I meet some gentleman and his wife, Javier, and he's from Peru. And he starts talking to me, and he's from California. He says, my dad went to Fresno State. I said, what? Look at my backpack, Fresno State football. He says, my dad played soccer at Fresno State. So we're having dinner, and he calls his dad, and the dad wants to talk to me. And wanted to talk all about the Bulldogs at Radcliffe Stadium and how much fun he had there. And he's a very successful guy in Lima, Peru. So the Bulldogs are everywhere, Tony.
Well, I'll tell you what. I hope both he and you are happy alums by the time things, and myself included, after tomorrow. And again, if you have any kind of app problem, give me a call. I'll do whatever I can from here, Brian. Have a great one. Tell the people in Scotland
you.
We said hey, and I'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Okay, well, I'm getting a little scotch for you. All right.
I know you will. I'll talk to you later, Brian. You too. All right, guys. Live and direct from parts unknown, from a train in Scotland, ladies and gentlemen, and the man who is enjoying his scotch right now. It is Mr. Top Dog himself, Brian Panish. All right, before we hit the break here, and I'm going to come back with Jackson and get a quick hit before we send it off to Phil, I want to remind you about the sponsors and thank everybody on Fridays for hanging on a little bit, because Brian's schedule is such that I want to make sure that we get him on right away, because I never know where he's going to be. Many times he's in court. This is absolutely true. Not that he's in legal trouble. I mean, he's got a case going on. There have been times that he's been on the air that he's actually told me afterward, told the judge I needed to go on air, so he agreed to have a recess at 2:00. So I'm just wondering about how many trials I've had to wait Well, Brian has a recess at 2:05 so he could do a half hour with me. I think only the judge knows about that. I'm not so sure that was shared with the jury at that particular time, though I'm sure that has not happened lately. All right, that was a long time ago. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right, as far as the reminders go, again, our great friends at the local KFCs want to remind you they've got the terrific Phillips deal going on right now, $7. You can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with drink sides and even sweet pie poppers. Top it off with peaches and cream lightning soda. That's at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also, keep in mind, every Tuesday you still have the $10 eight-piece bucket. That's eight pieces dark meat chicken, either original extra crispy or eight original recipe tenders. Either way, great deal at the KFCs. And again, those local operators are proud sponsors right now of the Bulldog Bread Collective, which makes us very, very happy. We're just talking about the necessity of NIL monies, and as Brian brought up, monies to hold on to players here in addition, of course, to bringing ones in. And the point he made, and a point that has been made on the show a great deal, in the realm that Fresno State is right now, they're great, I think, under Entz, the way they were under Pat Hill, et cetera, Jeff Tedford, you name it, in finding players, developing players. The difference was, in the days gone by, you find a Logan Mankins, for instance, and through hard work by both the player and the coaches, you turn him into a terrific player, and he stays with you until his time is there to go to the National Football League. Now you do that same kind of thing, and all that happens is the moneyed aristocracy somewhere else takes all your hard work and offers that player the kind of money you cannot, and that player's out the door. And people that say, well, that doesn't impact a lot of players. It impacts those that are the difference makers, and that's one of the things that I think has to be understood. When people say, well, it doesn't really impact but a small percentage. Yeah, but that small percentage of players, those are the upper echelon players. Those are the difference makers that turn you into a winner or can keep you from being a winner. So it is a very big deal, and we're very glad that folks, for instance, at the KFCs have decided to join the Bulldog Bread Collective. So we thank one and all in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman at the KFCs. If you stop by, pick up a bucket, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Also, speaking of that, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Later on, in just a few minutes before we get out of here, I'll tell you about the schedule. It comes courtesy of Ed and his great business, which planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management is very much the entire ball of wax of what you need. So if you need anything at all in regard to that type of service for civil engineering and planning and land surveying and all the things that you need for construction, give them a call at 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Ed, local guy, proud graduate of Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. A lot of the folks at Precision Civil Engineering went through the program at Fresno State, and Engineering Yardage is the great fundraiser they have, the goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's a great way they're able to donate to Fresno State to benefit things through NIL monies and direct monies at Fresno State. So we thank Ed and his entire business, and I will tell you about the schedule a little bit later on. Also, a thank you goes out to Joe Cruz, another booster at Fresno State and longtime sponsor of this show, and his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating its 25th anniversary right now. Joe has been a booster for over 30 years, another native son of the Valley. Again, if you have any need at all, particularly if you're working around a plant, a maintenance person, boiler service, tanker delivery service, anybody who uses a valve, if a valve goes down, your business can go down. And what Joe has for you at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103 is the pipe fittings, the valves, the sanitary fittings, the food grade and chemical hoses, the suction hoses, everything there in-house. You can give him a call, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Tell them what the issues are you're having. They'll analyze your situation. give you a same-day estimate, same-day service, and get you up and running or keep you up and running so your business doesn't take that big financial hit. And what Joe would like to do, if you have a few minutes after they solve the problems for your business, he'd like to spend some time to tell you what he does for Fresno State donation-wise. The best answer right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a link there. Take you to different areas, the donate link. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then under ways to give, the individual sports clubs, quarterback club for football, for instance, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me usually Wednesdays. We're going to have a couple of preempts coming up to talk basketball and also talk football as well. And Jack would love to see more members. The timeout club, he has said, you can give him a call directly in his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, furtickjack@aol.com. Also, there are links there for other men's sports, like the Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball, and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then one more reminder about Bulldog Bread, the collective that Chris started at the station, handed it off to Marcus McMurrian. So two Bulldog legends, one from the 80s, one from just a few years ago, both of them moving NIL forward. And again, keep in mind, NIL monies and the monies that Fresno State, that $20.5 million that directly, those are separate issues that are all under one roof. So you can have NIL monies that go well beyond that. Fresno State would love to see that happen, by the way. But what Marcus can tell you is any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, very, very important. Contact him, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. So thanks very much to Joe Cruz, again, for being part of the solution at Fresno State through NIL monies and donations. And then finally, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Normally we start off with the weather every day. Great local people. They've been in the Central Valley in NorCal since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work at home, even during COVID. Great people. And they allow me the time every day to tell you the weather. And as I mentioned, right now, it's still a little hazy out. The smoke from the wildfires, a major issue, but particularly if you're living in those areas around Courtright, around Pine Flat Reservoir, Sierra National Forest, there are evacuation orders right now because that Garnet Fire has continued to escalate. And so it is a problem right now, and it's going to be across Labor Day weekend. So be careful up there. As far as the weather itself, temperature-wise, 97 today, 100 tomorrow on game day, 101 Sunday, 102 on Labor Day, 101 on Tuesday, 100 on Wednesday, 99 next Thursday, and then 198, 95 through a week from this weekend. So we're staying right around 100 degrees. The low's right around 70. Not a surprise this time of year. Maybe a few degrees warmer than we have been in the past, but we can also be a lot hotter than this as well. So it's mainly about the air quality right now, and if the breezes are down, it means the smoke is going to be an even bigger problem. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, you can reach Lee's 825-5337, which is 825-Lee's, or leesair.com on the web. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring guests up like Brian Panish, or in a couple of minutes, Jackson Moore, and how Phil not only brings up guests on his fine show, but also is able to bring the callers from the general public in, and that's 559-320-1430. Along those lines, the final reminder, high school football tonight, again, and by the way, Channel 59, that means Ralph and Cam and Kevin and Gabe, they start their Friday night rivals tonight on 59. Those are great games. Check those out. We're in our second week of Friday Night Lights. Again, it will be Paul Metters joining both Phil and Pat Hill, home game for Fresno State on Saturday. It means Pat is able to join those two gentlemen in the booth as he has for the last couple of years. At La Monica Stadium, the pre at 7 o'clock, the kick at 7:30, Salinas Cowboys in to face the Clovis Cougars. Again, it's the Rodeo Bowl, ladies and gentlemen, so I hope you tune in. Even if you go out there, bring a radio along and tune in. We'll have high school football for you. The A's are over on 790 tonight, hosting the Rangers, 6:30 with a 7:05, and we're back with the Giants over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, next week we'll start the NFL, not this weekend, but next weekend. And the final reminders, Phil normally 3 to 6 with his fine show behind the bench to 5 o'clock today. Then he heads out to La Monica again on Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our great friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. Again, you can always reach Phil on that leesair.com hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has his two fine shows back after hiatus over the summer. On Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, Sunbird Sports Report, all about athletics at Fresno Pacific. That's on 790. On 1430, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon, First String Sports. That is Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1@att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. I'm still hopelessly behind on emails, guys. I'll do the best I can. I know, Brent, you sent me an email. I'll try to address privately if I can. I'm very limited in the time I'm allowed because of all this nonsense with this lower back, and the doctor's always giving me a hard time. Also, Paul G., I'll try to get back to you as well if I can. Anybody else, again, tdad1@att.net. I'll address whatever I can over the air. And then finally, everything but the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and take the break, come back. I want to get Jackson on the air for a few minutes here since the Giants preempted us yesterday. We'll get a little bit more about Fresno State and Georgia Southern. We'll do that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:50, about 5 minutes ago in the show, handed off to Phil's fine show behind the bench for 2 hours, and he's off to La Monica Stadium for high school football tonight. Again, thanks to Brian Panish for his time. He'll be with us every Friday now all the way through the season, wherever he might be, in this case, a train in Scotland, for goodness sake. Something. There's a joke there somewhere. There's a guy in a train in Scotland. Never mind. Jackson with me here in a second. I want to again thank the sponsors for allowing me to move things around on Fridays. That would be at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, Ed Dunkel, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our great friend Joe Cruz, and Precision Civil Engineering, which is Ed's business, of course. So thanks to those four. All right. Bring Jackson Moore up right now. We didn't have a chance to talk to Jackson yesterday, de facto co-host normally with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Jackson. I know we're pressed for time. First of all, I know you had a freebie for the VIP board yesterday. I wasn't on to tell people about it. What special do you have going right now, though, through Labor Day?
Yeah, it's going to be 75% off. We're cranking it up over here for the It's 24/7 sports for the big week one weekend, but obviously for us it's game two at Fresno State. But 75% off the VIP all weekend long for a year. It comes out to just $2.50 a month, 10 quarters. So hope people take advantage.
Well worth it. I hope people take you up on that. Now, our buddy Stephen Clovis said that he couldn't say he was sad to see Boise eat some humble pie last night. He said that ought to shut up the trollers for at least one more week. And then he said he wants to see us have better O and D line control of the line of scrimmage. I think most people feel that way that are wearing Bulldog colors these days. What do you expect to see, Jackson, in the two-minute synopsis here? What do you expect to see tomorrow night at 6:30? And again, guys, 6:30, not 7 o'clock, not 7:30. 6:30 kick tomorrow at the stadium, FS1.
That's certainly you. It's certainly a more manageable opponent, I would assume, than Kansas, but still a very worthy one, a very even opponent, coming in favored slightly after what the Bulldogs did in Week 0. So this should be a real fight, a real battle. Georgia Southern offensively, they're going to come out and they're going to run a lot of tempo, so that's going to give the Bulldogs a little bit of a different look. You know, it won't be all in the trenches on that side of things. Georgia Southern's going to look for some quick passes, some one-on-ones on the outside, so try to keep the Bulldogs off balance and a little confused, and hopefully this defense that did seem a little bit confused at times in game one can get that down in time here. And then offensively for the Bulldogs, as good as there's a lot of things going for the Eagles, I don't necessarily think defense is at the top of that list, and they struggled against the pass last year and weren't all that great against the run on the entirety of the year either, but a big 6'1", 350 pounder right in the middle. If the Bulldogs can get him out of the way, I think they should be able to run the ball quite a bit better. It's just, it's a matter of if this team was as good as maybe we thought they might be coming into the year, this might be a game where they could really run it down the opponent's throat. And now after seeing what happened in the first game, you just kind of hope that they can take advantage enough to run it kind of average to above average to stay on schedule.
Well, you and I will talk about the postmortem on Tuesday, but I will ask you, can the Bulldogs, you know, Banish is bringing up Speedy Luke, and we know that's his nickname. It's not his given name, we're going to say. Can the Bulldogs get to the edges? I mean, between the tackles, it was tough against Kansas. Let's say they stack the box, Georgia Southern does. Can you get to the edges on this team?
I think so, and I think you're going to have to. I think this is a game that, you know, I think if you pick the top 10 players in this game, probably more of them are on Georgia Southern's roster, but I think the Bulldogs' average talent level is better overall. So, you know, it's a game you don't want to be in a spot where a couple of playmakers and a couple of plays can decide it. You want to be able to run the ball effectively, whether it's between the tackles or around the edge, and control the game and have a little bit of comfortability, because I think it's one where the Bulldogs can control the game and win if they can go up, and it's one that it's going to be tough to pull off if it's a tight one or if they're playing from behind. I'm not sure they have what they need in that situation. So hopefully they establish things early and make Georgia Southern have to play on their heels.
All right, last 30 seconds. We know they've got a tough one at Corvallis next week. Jackson, is this avoiding 0-3 if they lose, or are you saying the games are not attached in that regard? I mean, how important is this game just in and of itself, and is it something that will affect next week, in your opinion?
For me, it probably just depends on what Oregon State does. If they go out and they roll over Cal, that's going to be a scarier matchup, I think, even if the Bulldogs win on Saturday. And if they fall to the Golden Bears, it feels like a one that they can move to 2-1 or bounce back from if they're 0-2. So I think it's more about what the Beavers do, probably. As long as the Bulldogs show some promise, whether it is a win or a close loss, I think then it depends on what Oregon State does about how we feel about Game 3.
Well, we'll see what happens, Jackson. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you on Tuesday, and I'll tell you this. Cal and Stanford both belong back in the pack. That's all there is to it. I wish they would come to their senses. Everybody else probably is where they need to be. Even the corner schools, probably better off in the Big 12 in the long term. And, of course, the four that took off to the Big 10, as long as they're going to make mega bucks, you might as well stay. Cal and Stanford ought to be coming back home. They need to get their heads out of their rear ends. And now they're going to ask me for even more money. All right, I'll talk to you next week, my friend. Have a great one. Take care, Jackson. We'll see you.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, thanks to Jackson. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Jorge. Phil is coming up. Enjoy high school football after Phil tonight. Phil both times. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. This is KFIG Fresno.